This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We sometimes ask musicians about the instruments they choose, but what about everyone else? As part of our occasional series called Pro Tool, we're featuring people with strong opinions about the tools they use in their work. We've heard from a comedian about the best microphone to use on stage, from a stylist about the best shears, scissors to cut hair. Today, we're going to talk to Marketplace listener Jonathan Jarrow, owner of Harbinger Coffee in Fort Collins, Colorado. Jonathan, good morning. What do you got there?
An EK43 coffee grinder.
An EK43. Who makes that?
So it's by a company called Melkunig out of Germany.
Melkunig with a umlaut there on that vowel.
That is correct.
What does it do for you, this thing?
So basically, the reason this grinder is so outstanding is that it basically cuts apart the coffee particles that we're going to use for brewing in a very even way. And that allows us to just achieve evenness in the brewing of coffee so that we have an even extraction the whole way through, starting with the actual ground particles themselves being all of an equivalent size.
So I'm sitting here thinking you're going to tell me your tool is a coffee brewing machine, you know, the coffee maker, but it's actually your grinder that you're mentioning first.
Correct. So what's interesting about coffee in particular is that a lot of times all the coffee brewers or the espresso machines tend to get a lot of the, all the hype and all the noise around them because they look really fancy or they cost lots of money. But a coffee brewer in and of itself does not make good coffee. It is used by people, and people make good coffee. But grinders are very unique in the fact that when they are higher quality, they actually can produce higher quality coffee from a lower quality grinder to a higher quality grinder because the particle size distribution is so much better. And so, again, we achieve more evenness. We can take more from the coffee, and it can taste quite a bit better.
So with maybe a lower quality grinder, you might get a couple of big chunks mixed in there, and that's going to screw things up?
Sort of. So we have a combination of a couple of different things. So we have the larger chunks, which are sometimes called boulders, and those can allow for flow but don't necessarily extract very well because of the fact that they're so large. So the water can't get in there and actually take from them the flavors that we're looking to extract. Whereas on the other side of the spectrum, we have really small, tiny particles called fines, which are good and okay, but when there's too many of them, they extract too much, and then they start to bring out flavors that are less than pleasant.
Huh. Now, this thing, a cheaper grinder just kind of pulverizes, but your better grinder, this Melkunig, it has probably what? Flat plates, burrs? How would you describe it?
They're flat burrs, and there's a couple different types of grinders out on the market. The conical style burr grinders are two kind of cone-shaped burrs that fit into each other, and those can make decent coffee and decent particle size distribution relatively quickly, but nowhere close to the kind of power that we have with the EK43. It's been called the poster child of the quality coffee movement just because it's very big. It was originally designed as a spice and coffee grinder, and there's different burr sets that you can put in it, that some of which are used for actually grinding things other than coffee grains, spices, and the like. But this one in particular has two rather large flat burrs. It has a pretty gigantic motor attached to it, and it is very stable, and it grinds the coffee again incredibly evenly.
And I assume this doesn't cost $19.95?
It unfortunately doesn't. It's a little bit over $2,000, but it is worth every penny as far as the kind of quality that we're able to get out of it when we brew the coffee, whether it be on our by-the-cup system, so you know pour-overs, or on a big, large-format batch brewer. We have incredibly equivalent particle size distribution, and again, the flavors that we get are just much more clean. More or less, we're able to get more intensity of flavor, more clarity of flavor in particular from a higher quality grinder versus a lower quality one.
2,000, not Deutschmarks or lira, dollars, no. U.S. dollars.
Dollars, okay. Yes.
Wow, okay. What is this EK43 Melkunig sound like if you fire it up?
Well, I can go ahead and put some coffee in here now and get it going. First, I'm going to go ahead and pour some coffee in the very top here, and I'm going to go ahead and fire it up, and then I'm going to go ahead and let the coffee go through the burr path, and so you'll hear it real quick, but... And that is it. It's actually relatively quiet for how big and powerful it is.
You don't have to, like, wire it up to 220 voltage or anything like that.
This
like
is not 220. This is, it is 110, but... again, it grinds coffee incredibly evenly and then drops the coffee right down into the cup that I'm using here. And that's from there I'd transfer it into our brew platform and brew it.
Yet again, I'm feeling inadequate. I shopped for 2 years for my grinder and paid $349, and I feel that it's somehow inferior. But, Jonathan, what kind of coffee do you enjoy? My hipster friends like their coffee burnt tasting, not just dark roast, but like there was a brush fire that burned through the coffee plantation. Is that what you're into?
No, not really. I mean, really, obviously, we're talking about grinders, and grinders are incredibly important, but you really need to start with a really high-quality coffee. Someone much smarter than me once said that quality is not subjective. Preference, yes, preference is very subjective, and different people like different things, but there's quite a bit of high-quality coffee that exists in the world that we get to bring in, and we bring in some great roasters who just make quality, well-developed, sweet, balanced coffees. And I don't think anyone can say that sweet, balanced, and delicious coffee is something that they don't like. More often than not, you know, there's been trends going one way or another. Sometimes it's very dark, and sometimes it's so light so as not to take anything away from the coffee. I believe roasting is a value-added process. And so when you roast coffee, you want to turn it from a raw product into something that is sweet and soluble that you can run through a grinder and make something delicious with.
But give me a sense of what you look for when you're trying to define quality in the beans. Is it, I mean, fresh has got to be part of it.
So fresh is a huge part of it. We also want to make sure that we have a coffee that is of a high quality, and there are scales and that are used within the industry for us to determine what level of quality a coffee is. And then from there, we want it to be roasted well. And yes, in general, most of the coffees we use are on the lighter end of the spectrum. But within the spectrum of, you know, good coffee, there's quite a big bit of range from the beginnings of just barely roasted all the way up into the beginnings of the second crack or the beginnings of dark. That can be really good and really tasty. And the question is, you know, how did you get there with the roast? Not necessarily what's the specific degree of roast.
What do you think when someone comes into Harbinger and before actually tasting your brew reaches to put sugar in?
I think that that's totally fine. I'm a big fan of saying quality coffee is meant to be enjoyed. You want to enjoy your whole experience. You don't want someone being snooty and talking down to you. You want something that's good and that's delicious and that makes you happy. That's the whole point of going to a coffee shop, is to have something great. And sure, you can create an experience where you can limit some of the offerings, and I know people who do, and they do it somewhat successfully, but I think in general, great hospitality, great service says, we're going to give you something delicious, and if you'd like to put cream and sugar, we'll help you with that. If you would like to have it black, we'll help you to understand what it's like, what it tastes like, and how to better enjoy it just like that.
Well, you're a good man. The only reason I asked was I was out at the tip of Long Island at a serious coffee place, and the older Italian guy in the coffee place just about broke my arm when I reached for the sugar. Apparently that was a faux pas in his establishment. But interesting to know that you're more open to that. Hey, you told my producer that you occasionally drink instant coffee? No way.
Well, that's in a very specific instance, and it actually has something to do with the fact that I really can't stand poorly made coffee. And unfortunately, instant coffee, while a really cool and fascinating scientific process, is not as high quality as I wish it could be. That said, when I go camping, hiking, I go pretty far deep in the woods here in Colorado, and it's difficult to bring along all the necessary supplies to make something really delicious. So believe it or not, if I'm going deep into the woods, I would rather have instant coffee than poorly made quality coffee with air quotes around that.
Well, what about a little French press when you're hiking in? That's what I do when I go winter camping, is a French press. But you figure
and
in
these
the
are,
end, maybe.
These are things you can do, but I would have to pre-grind my coffee. I'd have to bring, basically, when we're here in Colorado and we get up into the mountains, we're at high elevations, and so the water boils at lower temperatures, which makes it really difficult, even with a press pot, to even make something that is really, truly outstanding. I'd rather honestly not have coffee than to have a poorly brewed cup while I'm out camping. I just want to be outdoors and basically be away from my job, which I love when I'm working at it, but when I'm away from it, I'd like to just concentrate on being outdoors and having a good time.
Good to know you don't like lug a generator up to keep K43 going while you're deep in the woods.
It would be impressive, but I don't think I'm strong enough to put this thing on my back.
All right, his pro tool is the EK43 Malkoenig Sirius coffee grinder. Jonathan Jarrow, owner of Harbinger Coffee in Fort Collins, Colorado. Thank you.
Thank you, David.